I texted him last night and I said to him, guess what? I'm preaching at Durban North tomorrow morning. And he said, please, Paul, give the church my love and greetings. He hasn't forgotten you. In fact, he's coming to Pastor Lambert Road Baptist Church. He should have started on the 1st of April, but with lockdown, he got trapped there in Joburg. And the church is going to start up on the 1st of November, which is my birthday, by the way. I think I'm turning 22.
Paul, we would sing for you, but...
No, I'm not dropping hints either, but thank you for that. So he sends his greetings to you as a church, and he's now in his 70s and still serving the Lord. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 10. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8, there's a verse of scripture that many of you will probably know. On your list of favorite scriptures, it might be one of them. Isaiah 55 verse 8, God says, God speaks and he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. You know, to use that modern colloquial, get onto my page. I think as Christians, there are two pages. There's your page and there's God's page. And we know that we should be getting onto God's page. But it's not easy. We don't often want to get onto God's page because we're creatures of comfort. We like to be in control. If I'm going to live a life of faith, I'm not too sure of the outcome. Some of us, although we wouldn't like to admit it, maybe are control freaks. Look, if I'm in control of my life, I can sort of negotiate where I'm going. But if I really have to get onto God's page, what might happen? What might he do with my life? Living by faith, does it seem scary to you? And sometimes, of course, we have to be honest. We're very strong-willed. You might say, oof, Pastor Paul, you don't know my husband or you don't know my wife. But I guess we're all strong-willed. But the fact is that we often don't like change. And even if God is behind it, we don't like it maybe. But change is inevitable and at times it's simply unavoidable. Let's look at this lockdown phase that we've just gone through. My understanding of lockdown was that it was a preventative measure to sort out this COVID-19. And whether we liked it or not, we had no choice. We had to change. It affected our jobs. Some of you probably haven't been to work for a long time. You're getting so used to working from home that maybe you don't want to go back to work. It affected our schools. Maybe on that one, as parents, you're quite happy with them to go back. You've got enough gray hairs as it is, and oof, let's just get them out the house. Oof. Thank God the lockdown is over. It affected our holidays. Did you know that your husband was going to take you on a holiday to Mauritius, but he couldn't? Because you can't even leave, remind him of that, by the way, because you can't even leave KZN. It affected our church attendance. We can't go to the church. It's closed. It actually affected everything, didn't it? It affected the whole world. It was unbelievable. If it just took place in Natal or South Africa or Africa, fine. But man, this was unreal. Are you suffering from lockdown fatigue? Yes, during these last 6 months, everything changed. You can't go there, you can't do this, you can't do that, you feel restricted. And we had to do things differently, and we did do them differently. Now, just level one, and then things will get back to normal. Although there's a bit of debate about that. But tell me, do we want them to get back to normal? If you had two pages and on one of them you wrote the thing or the way you used to do things, and on the other one during lockdown the way you did them, and you weighed them up, would there be some things under lockdown that you would say, actually, we should continue doing that? And there's a couple of things the way we used to do it are now no longer irrelevant. We found better ways of doing things. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and his companions were not going through lockdown, but they faced a number of unexpected changes. So how did it affect them? And what was the final result of all of these changes? Let's take a look at these few verses briefly this morning. In verse 6 of chapter 16, we have what I call blockage number one. Paul and his companions are on their second missionary journey. It's AD 49 to about AD 52. On his first missionary journey, he went to the island of Cyprus, which is still there today, and he went to what we would call Turkey, modern Turkey. So they're on their second missionary journey, and he's not allowed to preach in Asia. Why not? Now, you could understand if he was going to Asia on some self-enrichment program, like I'm going to settle a few business deals there, but it's nothing to do with him. He's wanting to extend God's kingdom. He's not going there to commit some sin. He's wanting to preach the word of God, but he can't go. Blocked. He's got to do things differently. Well, who stopped him? The Holy Spirit. What? The Holy Spirit. I said reverently, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? Here's a man wanting to go and preach to people in Asia who've never heard of Christ, and you block him, you stop him. How did the Holy Spirit stop him? Was it a word from a prophet? And there were prophets in those days. Was it a vision that he got? Was it a direct revelation that God appeared through the clouds and said, listen to me? Was it some inner conviction that I just don't feel it's right to go there? Or was it the good old health issues? You know, that thorn in the flesh that got the better of him. Maybe however the Holy Spirit did it is not that crucial. But he was blocked. He couldn't go. Wanting to move on? No. He can't go there. In verse 7, we see the second blockage. They are heading into new territory, and they can't go to Bithynia. Bithynia was a Roman province in Turkey. Well, who was it that stopped him? The Spirit of Jesus. And the Spirit of Jesus is the exact same reference to the Holy Spirit. If you look at Romans chapter 8, verse 9, and Galatians 4, verse 9, and Philippians 1, verse 19, you'll see sometimes the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of Jesus. They were blocked. And I wonder, was it an aggressive blocking from angel? No. Out. You know, it's like going to Click Store and the EFF guys are there. No, you can't get in here. Out. But maybe it was different. You know, people who seek to be filled with God's Spirit, people who are sensitive to God's Spirit, maybe the Holy Spirit, he lovingly says, don't go there. Don't go there. Two blockages. Lord, where are we going? We set out wanting to serve you. Everywhere we go, it's just closed door after closed door. And then in verses 9 and 10, we see a vision, and at last, an open door. Paul has a vision. In those days, it was the way that often divine communication was put across. He's at Troas, and Troas was the port where you would catch ships to go to Europe, what we would call Europe today. It wasn't called Europe then. And he has this vision, and there's this message: go to the province of Macedonia and preach there. It hadn't entered his mind in his page. He never intended to go there. What's there? Paul, go to Macedonia and preach. And the result is that the gospel was taken to Europe. Yes, it had been in Cyprus, it had been in Turkey, it would later go to Asia. But the gospel now, for the first time, would enter Europe. And Europe became one of the strongholds of the Christian faith, didn't it? As it spread throughout the world. Well, as we look at the Apostle Paul and his companions' experience, is there really anything relevant for us in 2020? On this Sunday, as we sit in church, as we've gone through this lockdown experience and things have changed whether we like it or not and we've done things differently, how might God be using this lockdown to help us to do things differently, to change in ways that we maybe don't like, and to change in ways that maybe at present we don't appreciate? And I want us to look at three areas. First of all, our church, the Durban North Community Church. As with the whole of this nation and the whole of this world, we've gone through this lockdown and things are different and we may be going to get back to normal. What has God been trying to say to us? You know, Romans 8 verse 28, all things work together for good to them who love God. Has this lockdown just been some meaningless experience with no relevance to God? God has not been saying anything to us. What has God been saying to Durban North Community Church at this time? Well, during lockdown level 5, 4, and 3, we couldn't use the church building. That's why you were not here. But you know, it's interesting, when I thought about it, there's many churches that everything hinges around the church building. How much of your ministry as a church hinges around the church building? In some ways, I suppose it makes sense. Why did we put up a building in the first place? Well, together. A couple of years ago, in fact, a long time ago, I was in America, and I visited a couple of churches there, big churches. And I visited a few big churches in South Africa. And some of them are similar, but not like the Americans. The Americans only do it their way. Some of those churches, there was just a few things that were missing. There was not a pharmacy, there was not a shopping center, there was not a petrol station, and there wasn't accommodation. Otherwise, you could live on the church premises full time. You wouldn't need to go anywhere else. You can do it all. Church became, or could become, like a kibbutz. But let me tell you, is the building really the church? When I was in Messina, we didn't have our own building. We used to use a chapel, and we had to vacate it. And I'll never forget the experience. We had to look for a new venue. Tried the school halls, and eventually, you know where we ended up? In the dining room of a bed and breakfast. You know what was the first song we sang? We've come into this place and gathered in his name to worship him. And you know, the whole experience made me realize, you know what's the most important thing in the church? The people. You are so special. Jesus didn't shed his blood for buildings. He shed it She did it for people. And I guess all pastors, sometimes when they go on leave, they miss their flock. We need each other's fellowship. If the building closes down, that's not a problem. As long as I can't, you mustn't close down. I need you and you need me. Church buildings will always be there. Sometimes we're inviting people to come to our church building, not here. But some of these churches I've seen in Pretoria, the NG Kerk, Moroletta Park, man, that's like a rugby stadium. You can't help but be impressed. The new Durban Christian Center. But maybe sometimes we don't ask people to look at our lives. Maybe the best testimony of what God is doing is not the church building, it's our lives. Secondly, sometimes we never go out into the world and share the gospel because we love being in our church. Yes, I know many years ago churches had evangelistic crusades and people would come to church. I suppose they might do it today, although I don't think as many. Church seems to have got a bad reputation. Yes, and I know in youth work, evangelism was by and large the coffee bar evangelism. The church in the hall, we'd have a coffee bar and invite young people to come, or we'd have a youth rally. Is that why we never went out? But I guess during lockdown, it might have just nudged us a bit. It's time to go out. Yes, there will always be ministry in the church building when it's open. But the days of people coming to church seem to be dwindling. Yes, Christians come to church, but the vast majority don't. That's why we've got to go out and try and bring them to the cross and to the church. If churches were banned, how might the lessons of lockdown affect Durban North Community Church? I've been a bit concerned. A guy that studied with me at Baptist College, Kenny Brown, he works for Wycliffe Bible Translators, and he works right in the north of Mozambique, right on the Tanzanian border, and there is a Islamic group that has at last got a foothold there. They've captured the port of Cabo Delgado. They've captured the oil fields that are owned by Total France. That would be one thing, but even he knows they are starting to behead people. Islamic extremists. Although he wasn't living there, he was working with the tribe called the Nahara. He was translating the Bible into the Nahara language. And Wycliffe had to evacuate him because it was getting too close to home. It's been lovely living in Africa because most of this stuff has been beyond the equator. You know, Islamic extremists kill people in Nigeria, but we're safe here in South Africa. But this is getting a bit too close to home. And only God would know what might happen to the church in the years that lie ahead. But it is a fact in Africa, church buildings have been burnt down. So what would we do if that happened here? Was God maybe using lockdown? The church still went ahead. The church didn't close down. Nobody said, well, let's just close the church down and when lockdown's over, we'll start up. No. The church carried on. It just did it in different ways. Maybe some of these are the lessons that God might teach us, and he might be just whispering. Now that if lockdown ever ends, I hope you as a church will do an appraisal. Lord, we went through this. You were with us. It was an interesting experience. Church never closed down. It probably grew. So, Lord, as we go through the post-lockdown phase, is there anything from lockdown you want us to retain? Is there anything new? Lord, we want to learn the lessons so that we can move forward. Second area would be in Christian mission. Was God saying anything to Christian missions during this time? During lockdown, no face-to-face contact. No personal contact, social distancing. So we can't preach to crowds. We can't fill out Moses Mabhida or the Shark Tank and preach. We can't have crusades. So what do we do? Okay, let's stop evangelizing and just wait until the lockdown is over and then we'll start again. The devil will keep lockdown going forever if that was the case. But no, mission, Christian mission didn't stop. It never will. Because Christians who have a burden to tell people and are open to God's Spirit follow Him. Maybe the spoken word has been replaced with a printed word. No, I can't tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ, but I can leave some literature, a challenge newspaper at your flats, in your mailbox, and you can read exactly what I would have told you with my lips. And yes, Christian newspapers, Bibles, tracts, magazines. I just noticed during this lockdown after level three when I started going back to flats. You know, sometimes they're a bit grumpy. Hello, I've come to give you the latest edition. Mm-mm. Many of them were so excited. Oh, it's come back again. They missed it. Yes, maybe we couldn't use the spoken word to put the gospel across, but we used the printed word. But you know, we also used the electronic word. There was this campaign in the world to move away from paper to glass. And these days with cell phones and IT, sometimes we can't get literature to people because we can't go to that block of flats. But these days with cell phones, and you guys used it, didn't you, for your services? Zoom, and I'm not an IT fundy at all, but Zoom and Skype. And Pastor Stuart Cranner was sending his Sunday sermon, and I'll get it when I get home on my cell phone. Downloaded, I can listen to it. Nobody can stop it. People can still hear about the Lord Jesus Christ through a lot of this IT technology, which is available for us to use. You know, the Challenge newspaper, you can get it on your cell phone. And I'm beginning to think, Lord, is this the next step that we should be going? Yeah, people pick up newspapers. Tell me, what do you read more, your cell phone or your newspaper? Maybe your cell phone. How many hours a day do you spend on your iPad or your cell phone? I'm not talking about your teenager or your wife. Whoops, I must be careful, I could be assassinated. People spend hours on these things. And yes, Challenge newspaper can be put there. It's interesting to see how God guided Paul and his companions. They set off wanting to go somewhere, and they didn't get there. Do you remember David Livingstone? Victoria Falls? No, he didn't found it. He was the first missionary to see it. David Livingstone was a missionary that wanted to go to China. He ended up in Africa. It's interesting that his statue is still there at Vic Falls in a society where people tear down statues. But the Zimbabweans know he was never an enemy of the black people. He was a friend, a loving friend. And they've kept his statue there. David Livingstone ended up in Africa. William Carey, the father of Baptist missions, as they say, he wanted to go to Polynesia. That's where he set his sights, and he ended up in India. Judson, another famous missionary, went to India, and he had to get out, and he ended up in Burma. It's amazing how God guides, isn't it? Lastly, as we come, what has God been saying to your life? We've looked at our church, we've looked at Christian mission. But during this lockdown and other experiences in your life, what has God been saying to you? Where's the Holy Spirit been leading you? Or maybe where did you want to go and you never got there and you're so disappointed you could be angry with God? Last year you had it all planned. 2020 was going to be the year of your life. What has God, by His Spirit, stopped you from doing, and it makes no sense at all? fact, you're angry with him. You've just had blockage after blockage, closed door after closed door. This is ridiculous, God. You had everything planned for 2020. And your spouse died. It all collapsed. You had such positive aspirations. You and your loved one were going to do this, or you were going to do that. And maybe even some things for God. And they passed away. You've been battling to find work, and you had this job interview lined up, and it failed. You were so sure you were going to get it. You had the qualifications, the vibes seemed positive, and it collapsed. You were retrenched. Last year at this time, I was so secure in my job, I would never have believed that I might have to stand on a street corner with a placard. Health issues, oh, and aren't they a nuisance? A business venture failed. You really hoped that in 2020 you would get married, but another relationship came to nothing. Look at me, I'm Mr. Lonely. As you and I, as children of God, go through our lives, there are going to be these blockages, there are going to be these changes that we do not like. They don't make sense. Maybe we should rethink Isaiah 55 verse 8. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. All I know is this, that the Durban North Community Church, as it follows God and as it sensitively seeks to be led by His Spirit through all these changes that sometimes we don't quite understand, it has a bright future. Keep following it. Christian mission, when things appear, doors appear to close, that's it. The devil have put these guys in a cage and we can't reach them. That'll never happen. God opens a door. And in your life, despite the fact that your page came crumbling down and that all of your aspirations never were realized and you've got a broken heart, don't chuck in the towel with God. You and I have a bright future as we follow His leading. And yes, when the door closes, it's not the end of the world. As I close, the first 5 years I was in Durban, I lived on the Bluff. And I stayed in the manse of the Brighton Road Baptist Church. The pastor had his own house, so that's why I was able to stay there. And his wife was a doctor. She was a pathologist at the Gale Street Mortuary. And she was really unhappy there. She would train a lot of people, and they would eventually become her bosses. And she said, you know, Pastor, I would sit at home crying my eyes out. What's wrong with me? Am I useless? Why can't I get a promotion? And she heard about an open door at George, the coastal town of George. They were looking for a pathologist at the mortuary there. But, you know, there's no guarantee that she would get the job. And so she applied, and she went down for the interview, and, you know, things proceeded. And I said to her husband, the pastor, one day, so tell me, pal, how's this job at George going? And I'll never forget what he said. He said, you know, Pastor, if God doesn't want us to go there, He must start closing the doors, because every door has opened. You know, you and I in our lives, we come to a T-junction. You turn right, God closes that door. You turn left, that door's open. You step through it. You get another T-junction. You turn left, that door's closed. You turn right, that door's open, and you step through it. You get another T-junction. You can turn left or right. Whichever one is closed, whichever one is open, you take that one. And that's often how, through the circumstances of life, God leads and guides us to where He wants us to be. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your graciousness. We thank you that you have never pressed the delete button over us. Lord, we have to confess that, yes, we like our page. I guess it's filled with all of our ideas and probably a lot of selfishness there. But Lord, you have a page, and at times, Lord, it seems to be painful when we don't get things our own way. It's difficult sometimes for a church to run under circumstances, under persecution or lockdown or whatever it is. But Lord, you've said you'll never leave us or abandon us. You're still with us today. During this lockdown period, you were still with Durban North Community Church. And Lord, I just believe it's a bright future going ahead. Lord, in our own lives, we sometimes get knocked around. Figuratively, we feel we're being beaten up. Everything is negative. It's blockage. There's no light. There's no open doors. Lord, help us to see your loving face. Help us to draw close to you. Help us to trust you that, no, beyond our wisdom, you are doing something in our lives. We can't see it yet. We've just got to be patient. May you continue to lead and guide us. May you bless each person here, Lord, as they go into this week. May you continue to lead and guide them in their respective lives. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you all.